because you are doing something that audiences cannot find anywhere else. And I hope that's the reason why they're watching our show, because they believe, I think, that I will deal the truth, as I see it anyway, in a way nobody else will, that I will never pull a punch, and I think that's the bond I have with the audience. They might not always agree with what I say, but that's okay. And, of course, I think we're funny. I think people always love comedy, and comedy's always king.
How long do you want to keep doing Real Time? It's not all that common for a show on HBO to go for 12 years. How long do you see yourself doing this?
You know, because the news is always changing, and there's always something to comment on, I never get bored with it. So I didn't expect this, you know, run would last this long. Politically Incorrect, the forerunner show, was 1993. That's a long time to be on television with only a six-month interruption between the shows. So, you know, how this happened, I'm not sure to begin with. But as of now, I'm still completely loving going to work in the morning.
Let's move on to stand-up comedy a little bit. And how much stand-up are you doing these days?
Oh, I would say about 60 to 70 dates a year. I'm away about every other weekend because I'm have to be here in L.A. to do the real-time show. Yeah, I'm pretty much restricted to working on Saturday and Sunday nights, but that's fine. And I love doing it. I feel like it legitimizes what I do on real-time because I talk about what's going on in America, and then I actually see America. I mean, a lot of commentators talk about, no, America's doing this and America's doing that, and, you know, we want our country back, and I just want to say to them, what the hell do you know about your country? I actually see it. You talk about the flyover states. I land in them.
How do you feel you've evolved, especially on the stand-up side, you know, since you started so long ago?
Well, stand-up is the kind of thing where it's painful at first because you stink. You know, people sometimes say, oh, isn't it hard doing stand-up? It is at first, very hard. And, of course, they don't know you. The audience has no clue what kind of comedy you're doing. And so you really pay your dues in the first 5-10 years. I mean, when you think about it, people will say, hey, want to go see some comedy tonight? And they go off to the comedy club, not knowing what kind of comedian you are. In a way, they never would with music. No one ever says, hey, do you want to see music tonight? And then they go, yeah, sure, I don't, whatever it is. You know, I don't care. It's either jazz or country or rap. Doesn't matter. I love it all. Nobody does that with music, but they do that with comedy. So very often you're the kind of comic, well, the audience doesn't really want to see. They came to the comedy club last week and they saw Carrot Top and they're expecting something similar, and you're not that. But now that people know what I do, it's great because you draw your crowd. And I especially love to go to red states because you find all the liberal people in the red states who are dying for someone who thinks like them to come out to their country, to their state, and I do, and it's really fun.
You, as you mentioned, you pride yourself on you know, being politically incorrect, on telling the truth as you see it. What are some ways recently you feel like political correctness has really gone too far in our culture?
Well, I was talking about it just Friday night because it was the day before Halloween, and I was talking about how the do-gooders are trying to ruin this holiday, which is supposed to be a politically incorrect holiday. It's trick-or-treat, after all. And it's the day we let our demons out, and they're trying to tell us which costumes are insensitive and inappropriate. And yes, I was really going back at them about this and telling them that, you know, this kind of scolding is what I call lazy liberalism, scolding as a replacement for actually doing something. And it drives reasonable people, I think, into the arms of the opposition, because they just don't want to be on the same team with these humorless folks.
Let's talk about one instance that seemed to really get a lot of attention just a couple of months ago, Bill. Of course, there was the 14-year-old Muslim student in Texas who was arrested after he brought that clock to school.
Clock boy.
Yes, exactly. And that got a lot of attention on social media. As you look back at that incident, just your thoughts on how that whole thing went down.
Well, it's funny. I love to talk about this because it's such a great example of the kind of silly liberalism that I'm trying to correct, that I'm trying to root out, because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, and I want to see liberals flourish and do well. And the fact that liberals just jumped on the bandwagon immediately. Not all of them, of course, but if you read the tweets from so many people, oh, Clock Boy, you're a genius. Keep inventing. Genius? This kid, let's get straight, got a clock at Radio Shack. He took the back out of it and put it in a box. Somebody did it on the internet. It took 20 seconds. He didn't invent anything, certainly not a clock or time. The only thing he discovered was that there was a Radio Shack that was still open. So this idea that they all, Obama invited him to the White House, for crying out loud. He went up to Google. He was celebrated all over. I saw him on Good Morning America. Robin Roberts says to him, what are you going to come up with next? What are you going to invent next? He pulls out a bunch of tangled wires. He pulled out the back of the DVD player. This guy just breaks things and presents them as an invention, and the whole liberal world is pretending he's some sort of genius. Now, where was he last week? He was with the president of the Sudan. The president of the Sudan, who is wanted by the International Criminal Court. This is the guy who prosecuted the horrible butchery in Darfur. This is the guy who George Clooney has been trying to put behind bars for the last 10 years. And he meets with them? And liberals are defending who? Give me a break.
The 2016 presidential race has already, of course, heated way up. In 2012, you campaigned, donated big money to President Obama. Do you have any plans to do anything similar this cycle?
I don't think so. I mean, I did contribute recently to Bernie Sanders. Bernie's views are a lot closer to my own, and I would like to see a socialist Democrat, as he calls himself, elected president. Also, I think he's been right on a number of issues from the get-go. Voted against the Iraq War, stuff like that. And I think we should reward people who were right about issues from the beginning. Hillary Clinton is not exactly that person. But Hillary Clinton is much more likely to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. And I have tried to counsel Democrats to don't be babies about it if you don't get your first choice. You know, you wanted the fish, but they didn't have it anymore. Get the chicken. Eat the chicken. That's my slogan with Hillary. Because it's certainly better than the gruel that they're serving over on the Republican side.
I saw your interview with Bernie Sanders a few weeks ago, and it looked like you were really kind of probing for him to explain democratic socialism. Were you satisfied with his answer on that?
I was not, and you're completely right. What I was trying to do was get him to undemonize the word socialist, because Americans have no idea what socialism is. They just know they hate it. They think it's something super bad, like, I don't know, pedophilia or cannibalism or atheism or something just horrible. And it's not. First of all, America has been a quasi-socialist country for 100 years. All modern countries are quasi-socialist. It just means that not everything is left for the profit motive. And we would be much better off if we would get over this fear of socialism. But yeah, I think Bernie needs to explain it a lot better than he has.
You're really kind of in an interesting spot, Bill, where comedy, politics, entertainment, news all kind of intersect in a big conversation. And what do you see as your role in that conversation?
Well, I think what our show does is not break stories. We're not investigative reporters. We break new ways to look at stories. I think what I do and have tried to do for the last 20-something years is just that, create a new way of looking at a story and then put that into the national dialogue. And very often, 6 months, a year later, I see it's becoming a lot more mainstream. A lot of the ideas that I've been talking about for over 20 years, like pot legalization and atheism, it's very gratifying to see are much more mainstream than they ever were before. The Muslim issue that we were just talking about with Clock Boy, okay, a year ago, I would bring up this, all the liberals would boo me. Now they don't. Now they get it, that if you're a liberal, you should be on the side of people who are the victims of intolerance and bigotry, no matter where it's coming from.